God has a word for us today. God has been giving us word all day long. For somebody, it's a rhema word. God wants to speak to us with one verse of scripture, that 24th verse. And we look at this text, it's a familiar text, and we get so caught up with Peter trying to walk on the water, but we miss the heart of the message. And that 24th verse said, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. There ends the reading of God's holy word. Father God, we thank you. Father God, you are so wonderful. Father God, we realize we don't deserve your grace. But Father, you give it to us even in overabundance because you're a good God. We thank you, Father, that once more and again, your grace is sufficient. It sufficiently woke us up this morning. It sufficiently allowed us to dress ourselves and even have something to eat. We thank you right now because you brought us into your house of prayer and praise one more time. Now, Father, as I decrease, as self decreases, Father God, increase. Increase right now. Holy Spirit, increase. Preach today, Holy Ghost, even to the point where souls are changed, lives are saved, healing takes place, encouragement. We thank you right now because, Father God, you can do all things. You can do everything but fail. So, Father God, we're leaning and depending on you right now. Now let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength, my redeemer, my all in all. And it's in the matchless, mighty name of Jesus do we pray. Let the people of God say, amen. Amen. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. If you would allow me just to make a statement, and I want to talk about storm chasers. Storm chasers. And if you need a hashtag, hashtag stay focused. Amen. Stay focused. My brothers and sisters, the tragic events of this past week spoke to my spirit. And like Minister shared, it caused me to reflect on my very own life. When I heard about the death of three storm chasers in Texas, God spoke volumes into my spirit. And although the situation was tragic, God told me that we are all storm chasers. We might not all chase storms to gain information about the weather conditions or the science of meteorology, but God said we are all storm chasers. From our birth till our death, our lives have been spent chasing one storm or another. And if we were to sum up our lives, we can conclude we are either currently in a storm, coming out of a storm, or getting ready to go back into a storm. At birth, we were born under the storm cloud of sin, and it follows us throughout our entire lives. throughout our lives, we must deal with both natural and spiritual storms. Storms are both destructive and detrimental in our earthly existence. Just yesterday in Colombia, over 200 people died in a mudslide, a storm, because a storm brought torrential rains and caused the rivers to flood. And I don't know too many people who enjoy dealing with a storm, whether natural or a spiritual storm in our lives. Don't you know I'd rather experience a day of sunshine than a day of rain? I'd rather experience a day of peace than a day of turmoil in my life. And although we might not like the storms that we experience in this life, God said that storms are necessary for our lives. Pray with me. I might not understand the purpose of a snowstorm, but God said it's necessary for my life. I might not see the value of hail falling from the sky and hitting my car, but God said it's necessary for my life. I might not ever get any enjoyment from thunder and lightning, but God said it's necessary for my life. All of our lives are spent dealing with some form of storm or another, either natural or spiritual. No one enjoys physical health storms. No one enjoys mental health storms. No one enjoys financial storms. No one enjoys relationship storms. No one enjoys those forest fires of storms set off by our children. No one enjoys storms of grief. No one enjoys those storms of mourning due to the loss of a loved one. But if I got into your storm, if I haven't gotten there, just hold on. Wait a minute. Your storm is on the way. We cannot avoid or prevent storms that come into our lives. And as much as I didn't want to see any more snow this year, I couldn't prevent it. I just had to deal with it. And how we deal with the storms in our lives speaks volumes for our faith in Almighty God. How we go through the storms in our lives demonstrate where our focus truly is. Are we focused on God through the storm? Or does the storm circumstances distract us from the Lord? That's why today's text is so important. Although it might be a familiar story, it's an important and necessary story for our understanding in these tumultuous last days. The events of today's text are so important that it is recorded by three of the four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and John. But I like Matthew's account because his sole purpose was to inform his Jewish nation that Jesus was indeed the long-awaited Messiah, Yeshua, or Emmanuel, God with us. But Jesus now, currently, he's at the height of his popularity. And the Bible says his compassion for the people caused Jesus to hold an impromptu healing service for the multitudes that were now following him. Some have estimated the number of people in attendance around 20,000, because there was 5,000 men alone, not including the women and the children. That's why the Bible calls it a great multitude. But the Bible says that he healed their sick all day long until evening had come. And when evening came, You know, like most of us after having a service with Jesus, they got hungry and wanted something to eat. The disciples encouraged Jesus to send them away because we don't have enough food to feed this great multitude. And I find it amazing that the disciples could watch Jesus heal thousands of people all day long. But now they don't think that he's able to feed them? They saw him heal, but they don't think he can feed them. Isn't that like so many of us? We watch Jesus work in one area of our lives, but we don't think that he can fix the other areas of our lives. Just because we think we don't have enough. Jesus said, feed them. The disciples said, we only have 2 fish and 5 loaves. We don't have enough to feed them. Jesus said, bring it to me. And don't you know, when you put what you have in the hands of Jesus, you will always have more than enough. Oh, I wish I had a witness. When you put what you have in the hands of Jesus, no matter how small it might be, you'll always have more than enough. But let me rush on before I get too excited, before I get to Calvary. The Bible says that Jesus took the loaves and the fish, and he looked toward heaven, and he blessed it, and he broke it. And then he gave it to the disciples to give to the people. The Bible also says they ate and were all full, even to the point of having 12 baskets of leftovers. I fed a lot of people in my life. But I never made 20,000 fish sandwiches. How many of you know that Jesus can do it? There's nothing too hard for my God. And with my God, all things are possible. Won't he do it? This mountaintop experience is the backdrop for today's text, and it also sets the standard for our lives. In a matter of hours, Brother Sean, these disciples went from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows. They went from sunshine to a storm in the matter of hours. They were full of life 1 minute and staring at death in the face in the next minute. That's how our earthly existence is. This world of ours is unpredictable and unstable because of the cloud of sin that we are under. That's why you can't put your trust in this world or the things of this world, because nothing in this world is constant or stable, even the people. My daddy used to say, folks are sometimey. One way today, another way tomorrow. But like the weather, things in this world are constantly changing. God is the only constant that we can put our trust in. In this life, we will always be chasing some form of a storm or another. We never get to experience sunshine all the time unless you have the sun shining in your heart. Look at this. After feeding the multitudes, Brother Marvin, Jesus immediately tells the disciples to get into the ship and go ahead of me. Go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and then I'll send the multitude away. Jesus did this so that he could complete his purpose for coming to this place. He came to this deserted place so that he could have some one-on-one time with God the Father. Jesus came to this place after hearing the disturbing news that Herod the Tetrarch had killed and beheaded his forerunner and cousin, John the Baptist. After hearing this news, Jesus wanted to be alone and seek his Father in prayer. And that's what he does after sending the disciples ahead of him and sending the multitudes away. If it was important for Jesus to get some one-on-one time with God, how much more important it is for us to spend quality time with God, especially after we hear something that disturbs us. While Jesus was finally alone on the mountaintop, spending quality time with God, the disciples weren't doing so well. These, stay with me, these experienced fishermen, having traveled about 3.5 miles, find themselves now in the midst of a storm. Storm was so bad that the waves had them tossing, and the wind was so strong that they couldn't go forward and they couldn't go back. They find themselves in the midst of the storm, and fear filled their soul because they couldn't help themselves. And if you've ever experienced a storm in your life, all you got to do is just remember back to that tornado on June the 1st in 2011. It will bring fear to your soul because you can't help yourself and you have no control over the storm. It's amazing how we fear things that we can't control. This storm was like no other storm they had faced before. And now they're feeling helpless and they're feeling hopeless. Although they couldn't prevent or predict this storm, they did have control over their focus during this storm. The gospel writer Mark says they remembered not the miracle of the loaves because their hearts were hardened because of the storm. And the worst thing that we can do when we're going through a storm is forget and lose our focus on Jesus. The purpose of the storm is to distract you and cause us to doubt and lose focus on Jesus. Let a hailstorm rise up in your life. And the first thing you do is have a personal pity party. And you think that God's not able. Even though he's brought you through hundreds of times before. Go on and let your job downsize and you find yourself in an unemployment storm. The first thing we do is talk about how unfair it is. And worried about making our ends meet. Even though God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. And I've been young, and now I am old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Let your heart get broken in a relationship storm. First thing we want to do is go into depression and cry, woe is me, instead of realizing that the love of God is with us forever. And if that significant other left you, all they did was make room for the one that God has in store for you in the first place. You might not be able to prevent or predict the storms that come into your life, but you do have control over your focus while you're going through the storm. You can't prevent it. And you can't predict it. But you do have control over your focus as you go through the storm. what the disciples and what we forget when storms come into our lives is that it had to be authorized by God. And if God authorized it, then God's going to see you through it. Oh, you're not feeling that. If God authorized it, then he's responsible for seeing you through it. That's why you must stay focused on Jesus and not the circumstances of the storm. You might not know how or when he's going to bring you out, but just know that he's able to bring me through because he authorized it. Stop focusing on the winds and the waves. Stop focusing on the lightning flashing. Stop focusing on the ground quaking. Stop focusing on the fire burning. Stop focusing on the rain that's falling. Stop focusing on your tears that flow. Stop focusing on your heart that broke. Stop focusing on your lack of money in the bank. Stop focusing on the disease that might be in your body. But start focusing on Jesus, the one who can bring you through any storm in this life. Bishop, it makes me wonder that we say we trust God with our future over in glory, but we don't trust him with the storms we have in the present, in this world. Something's not right with that picture. Jesus did not save you just so he could leave you in the storm. He didn't bring you such a mighty long way just to drop you off in the storm. He didn't shed his precious blood that still works just so he could abandon you in your storm. And I don't know about you, but to me that sounds like some good news. And if you don't mind, I'd like to close with that good news. My brothers and sisters, if you are in an authorized storm from the Lord, you can rest assured that Jesus will bring you through. Matthew doesn't say it, but Mark says it in his gospel. That while praying, Jesus saw the disciples toiling in their rowing and struggling in the midst of the storm. I tell you, when God starts a good work in you, you better believe he's going to complete that work in you. You can stand on the promises of God. He'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. The disciples had more work to do because he didn't tell them to get stuck in the storm. He told them to go to the other side. Even though they lost their focus on Jesus, Jesus didn't lose his focus on them. And Jesus will never lose his focus on you, no matter what kind of storm you're going through. That's why in the fourth watch, about 3 a.m., Brother Brian, Jesus finished his prayer meeting with his Father, and he focused on his disciples who were in the midst of a storm. Jesus made his way down the mountainside. He made his way down to the shoreline, and without hesitation and without delay, without the aid of a ship, without the aid of a raft, in spite of the waves, in spite of the contrary winds, in spite of the storm, in spite of gravity and the lack of solid ground, Jesus steps out onto the water and he walks 3.5 miles through the raging storm because it was necessary for their faith and for their salvation. It was necessary. I don't know about you, but I serve a God who loves me so much that he's willing to do whatever is necessary to bring me through whatever storm I might be in. Whatever it takes, Jesus can bring me through all things. You see, I serve a God who's not controlled by the storms of life, but controls the storms of life that I might face. If it means overcoming nature by doing the unnatural, he can do it. If it means turning a burning bush into a pulpit so he can speak to Israel's deliverer, he can do it. If it means turning the Red Sea into a highway for the freedom of his nation, he can do it. If it means using the sound of a trumpet and the shout of his people to bring the walls of Jericho tumbling down, he can do it. If it means using a slingshot and 5 smooth stones in the hand of a boy named David to kill a giant storm named Goliath, he can do it. If it means using a big fish to catch a runaway preacher named Jonah so that salvation can be preached to the people of Nineveh, he can do it. If it means taking the heat out of the fire so that he can have a prayer meeting with those 3 Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and I'm not going to say it, a bad Negro. Because they would rather burn than bow. He can do it. If it means taking the hunger out of the bellies of a lion so that Daniel can have a good night's sleep and that the king might believe, he can do it. But the one that is the closest to my heart, when the storm cloud of sin was covering my life and I was separated from the love of God, I'm so glad that Jesus was willing to do whatever was necessary to bring me through that storm. Even if it meant leaving his home over in glory for the hell that's on this earth, he did it. Even if it meant coming down through 42 generations so that he could bring salvation to me on time, he did it. Even if it meant wrapping up the Son of God and placing him in a woman's womb to be born in Bethlehem, he did it. Even if it meant being despised and rejected by men, even if it meant being a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, he did it. Even if it meant being convicted for sins that he did not commit, he did it. Even if it meant taking a beating that he didn't deserve, he did it. Even if it meant carrying a cross that wasn't his own, he did it. Even if it meant being stretched high and stretched wide and nailed to that cross, he did it. Even if it meant being forsaken by his heavenly Father on the cross, he did it. Even if it meant giving up the ghost and dying on that cross so that he could bring me through the storm of sin in my life, he did it. Even if it meant being buried in a borrowed tomb and taking my place in hell for 3 days and for 3 nights, he did it. And I'm so glad that Jesus was willing to do whatever it took so that I could have life and have it more abundantly. But I'm really glad that God kept his promise to Jesus and overcame nature and did the unnatural. when he raised Jesus from the grave. Early that Sunday morning, over 2,000 years ago, with all power in his hands. He took the sting out of death, and he took the victory out of the grave because he was focused on you and he was focused on me. That's why I don't fear the storms that come in my life, because I know that Jesus will never lose his focus on me. Sometimes I might not know how or when I'm going to come through the storm, but I know that I'll make it. I'll make it through, because I'm not worried about my circumstances when I'm focused on the Lord. So go on and let the lightning flash. Let the thunder roll. I'm going to make it through, because Jesus is willing to do whatever is necessary. Storms of sickness, come on. Storms of dementia, come on. Storms of death, come on. Storms of far country children, come on. Storms of disillusionment, come on. Storms of bitterness, come on. Storms of relationship problems, come on. You'll never be able to destroy me.
Yes, sir.
Because Jesus is focused on me. That's why I can say, Brother Buffalo, it's over now. It's over now. I feel like I can make it, because the storm is over now. No more cloudy days. They're all gone away. I feel like I can make it. The storm is over now. If I walk alone, I'm not on my own. I feel like I can make it. The storm is over now. No more cloudy days. No more crying at night. No more sickness in my body. No more heartache and pain. No more tears. No more sorrow. No more suffering. I feel like I can make it. The storm is over now. And when you know the storm is over, you can tell the storm. Death can't take me. Jobs can't make me. Bills can't break me. Disease can't shake me. You can't drown me, because my God, he surrounds me. That's what I told the storm. I also told the storm, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all my fear is gone. Because I know who holds my future. Life is worth the living, because he lives. We can make it through the storms of life if we stay focused on Jesus. I don't know about you, but I don't mind being a storm chaser, because he lives.